this brings up very strongly in me, especially this idea of like, how do you measure like the impact and the like? And to some extent, some people say, how does this become practical, especially let's say in a business setting, et cetera. But I could say unequivocally, most of my life, I had a difficult time accepting anything from anybody. And I was at a very, very low point at one point, and a complete stranger invested in me and literally, I would say saved my life. Like that's pretty empirical. Like, you know, like you can, the impact you can have if you, if you see the opportunities to invest. And it turned out there was several years later by chance, and you don't look for this, but, or when you give, and he certainly wasn't, I was the only one who could help him with something. In a business setting. So I've seen in my lifetime, both on the receiving end and on the giving end, the dramatic impact. And I remember those instances far more than any business success at a given, you know, moment in time or the like, because this is really what's much more valuable.
Yeah. And there's an interesting parallel to the corporate world, which is that we often don't have the data around this question in the corporate setting because we didn't measure it to begin with. So, yeah, if you remember, Wayne Gretzky said we miss 100% of the shots we don't take, right? And oftentimes, like I get brought into a corporation to help them go through a major change and increasingly more and more a cultural change. And my first question is, well, how have you been measuring culture before this? Oh, we thought you would come and tell us how to do that. Well, I can tell you how to do it from this point forward, and I can measure what will be different from this point forward. But because we didn't measure that beforehand, and I work with a lot of tech acquisitions. So I still work primarily in the tech space, and oftentimes I work with tech acquisitions, and it's usually a big company buying small company because they think it's going to speed up their time to market, or they think they're going to save money, or they see some sort of dollar value calculation, but they don't actually measure culture. And invariably, that's why the deals fall apart. So, you know, I had a client, large company. They saw a market opportunity by buying a much smaller company. So he had about a 40-year-old company existing in a gleaming skyscraper, bought a 3-year-old company existing in this guy's garage, and they brought them in, but guess what? The merger didn't work. And within I think about a year and a half, they stopped selling that product because the people and the culture that created that product were the key to growing that particular product. And so even in the corporate space, I think this is far more measurable than we give credit for. We just don't tend to do that.
There could be some measurement from like the data they have on employee engagement. Because engagement is often a factor of investment. You know, if the employees feel like they're being invested in, especially emotional investment. So,
Absolutely. Yeah. And employee engagement is helpful, and that's certainly a key part of what I tend to measure. But I think, you know, from a social scientific perspective, we're actually not very good. We're really good at measuring individual social factors or psychological factors rather, but we're not so good at measuring social factors. I don't know if you know the work of Dan Siegel. I think that's his name. He does the work on interpersonal neurobiology. And he has recognized that the psychological and the social have these interfaces that we just haven't analyzed enough. So I think there's some emerging work there, which is going to be helpful, but it's largely a question we don't ask, so we don't know the answer to it.
And the whole engagement piece too, that Jonathan, I think you're mentioning, you can ask an employee how you feel about the company, but I think from what I'm understanding from you, Will, it's really what are people's behavior belie about how are they treating each other? What is the actual connectivity and the richness of the network that the company is creating as a container? And there's no,
absolutely,
no one's talking about that. No one's measuring it. No one has their finger on it. It's very typical because what I'm struck by in listening to you in this conversation is it doesn't actually even really matter what the product of a company is. If it's going to be sustainable, the product is the product of the culture. It's not somebody's brainchild of what does the market need or want in this given moment. It's kind of, if it's going to live well, it has to be because people are excited and it's because of their interactivity with each other that something beautiful is created. It's not something that you can just force people to make, more or less, if I'm understanding that right.
Absolutely. And I was in the dot-com space in the late 90s, and I actually had one of the companies that crashed and burned then as well. And what I saw a lot of is people looking and they say, well, here's a market opportunity. Let's try to take advantage of that. Not, I care deeply about this thing. Let me help fix it. Let me help create a problem for it. But, you know, and just so many of those companies received these huge valuations and got lots of money, and then they just went out of existence because they themselves and their culture didn't really connect with that issue and therefore with the market. So yeah, I mean, the history is replete with companies that thought they could, you know, find a market opportunity, but no, it tends to be, and even for the ones that may have gotten maybe too big for their own good now, mostly they started because they had a genuine need, they felt a genuine desire to meet a social need.
And the concept of emotional capitalism, then, when you're talking about it, you start talking about it in the individual sense, but when you are teaching or you are trying to put this out in the world, is it company to market interface, intercompany, you know, employee to employee, management to employee, every layer? How do you really try to deploy this?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Every layer, but it always starts from the bottom. It always, it builds from the bottom up. So the way you start is by really helping individuals begin to interact with this in this way of thinking, and begin to understand that their actions have the possibility of investing love and belief, or they actually have the possibility of sort of withdrawing some love and belief. Like when we have these negative interactions in corporate settings, and even in individual or organizational or nonprofit settings, it's just as likely that we're withdrawing from the emotional bank account as we are depositing. And so when we start from the ground up, and this is even what I do with corporate clients, when we can begin to build a local internal ecosystem, individual to individual, where they recognize this value of emotional capitalism, they begin to invest in each other. Then as we move up, and particularly for tech companies who are looking to be more agile or more nimble in the marketplace, those are not, you know, there's some frameworks out there that help you quote unquote implement agile. But the reality is agile is a characteristic. It's a way of being. And you can't be agile, you can't be nimble if you don't trust each other, if you don't really like each other, if you don't on some level love each other, even if that's just a kind of a brotherly love for each other. And so for me, it really starts with individuals and then it works its way up. But it can also be starting to work with, so I've got one client right now that I'm working with their C-suite and helping implement emotional capitalism within the C-suite itself. And so I'm imagining that that's going to begin to filter down to the rest of the organization because they've taken that value seriously within the leadership of the organization.
And just going back to the engagement, I do think, though, that some of these surveys, employee surveys, at least uncover, maybe not with precision, but uncover obvious mismatches between corporations. Yes. Or between management and the teams. Like when the engagement's all the way down on one side, or when the stated mission is not even known by anybody from major corporation, and then some startup is like, we're going to save the world. Like, you already know kind of what you're getting into when you're going to be addressing change management with these two groups.